Daf Chaf. So we got two lines down. We were talking about this case where they found the machat, and we figured out the machat was a machat shell tamei meis that was inside the stomach of an animal. And the Gemara said that it's not going to be metame yadayim, it's not going to be metame the kalim. But the Gemara did say it's metame the basar. So that was the discussion we had at the end of yesterday's daf. So now the Gemara is going to address how exactly is that machat going to metame the basar? Because we know for food to become tame, the food has to first come into contact with one of the seven liquids, the seven shiva mashkim. So where exactly are the shiva mashkim that the basar is now a hukshel tuma, and when the machat touch it, it now becomes tame? So that's the question of the Gemara on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, two lines down. So the Gemara says about basar, tame, hai basar diskashir b'mai. What exactly was machshir the food? What was machshir the basar? Where are the seven mashkim? So Gemara says, e-name, if you're going to suggest to me diskashir b'dam, it was the blood, right? The blood was coming out of the carbon. It was shechted. There's blood all over the place. It gets pretty messy. So that dam was machshir the basar. But that can't be the case because we already know from a couple days ago, v'ha amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin ladam kachim, shena machshir. We already know that blood of a carbon is not machshir. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, lo sechalenu al ha'aretz tishbechenu kemayim, dam shenishbach kemayim machshir, but she'enam nishbach kamayim ena machshir, blood, which we let spill on the floor, that's the type of blood that's going to be machshir food. But blood which we don't allow to fall on the floor, namely dam kachim, where you're supposed to catch the blood and ultimately sprinkle the blood, dam kachim is not machshir. So it can't be the dam of the carbon that's machshir the basar. So again, where is the hukshir the basar? So ella, this kashir b'mashke beis metapchia, from the liquids, the drinks, the waters of the beis metapchia we described, that after they shechted the animal, they'd wash it down. They washed inside of the animal. There's mayim all over the place. Not the nisach mayim that I suggested a couple of days ago, but the water that they used to kind of hose down the animal. So that was the water that's machshir. So if you're going to suggest the water used to be to clean the animal, we already know that klal quite well. For ha'amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina, mashke beis metapcha, lo dayan shein dachen, ela shein machshir. We already discussed in great detail that the mashkim of beis metapcha is not metame, it's tahor, dachan, but on top of that, it's also not machshir. It's not machshir the food. That's a klal that we have. So then, if it's not the dam kachim, it's not the mayim of the beis metapcha, where in the world is the basar going to get hukshir? The ella must be this new concept called this kasher b'chibas hakodesh. Now, how this exactly works, unclear, but there's a klal. Chibas hakodesh means, chibas is a lashon chavivas, that the excitement people have for the kachim, that alone has the ability to machshir the food. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ela diskasher b'chibas hakodesh. Chibas hakodesh, again, the excitement of the kachim, machsharta lavol lidei tumah. That allows us to get to the tumah. So my understanding is, I presume it's as follows, that there's a discussion around Ban in the Sefer Chinuch, how exactly what's the concept of the Sheva Mashkim being machshir the food? How exactly does that work? So I believe it's the Sefer Chinuch who explains that when you eat an apple, you take an apple off the tree, even though it's edible, it's not edible. I won't eat it until I first clean it, until I wash it off first. That's part of the Gemar Puri. You've completed the process of the development, the ripening of the fruit, by washing it off. That's the understanding of the Sefer Chinuch. But till that point, it's not a Gemar Puri. So here as well, so normally I wouldn't eat food until it's ready. But the excitement of a kodesh, maybe I'll eat the kachim, even when, you know, just because of that excitement, that makes it a gemar pri, the excitement that I have. So that might be somehow how it works, but there's a concept called chibas hakodesh, is machshir the food, it prepares the food, even though it does not come into contact with any of the seven liquids. So this is a special exception when it comes to the kachim. So the Gemara says, so then, v'elag diskashir b'chibas hakodesh, so emar, d'mahani le'chibas hakodesh, lipsule gufe, but lemimne berishon v'sheni nami. So granted, the chibas hakodesh, the interest in eating the kachim makes the food possibly possible. But does it make it tame, whereby it can now transfer tumah to another level, to a sheni and to a shlishi? Does it go that far? Because if it did go that far, so then we would be able to answer a question that Rabbi Reish Lakish had. Reish Lakish had a question. Tifsho, let's answer his question. The Bai Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish asked the question, Tzarid Shamanachas. Tzarid Shamanachas, Rashi says, is if a dry piece of flour. When a mincha was flour, and you put oil in the flour. Now the oil wasn't mixed together, you pour the oil on one side. So the oil that touched the flour, that became Hukshel Tumah, because it's wet. But there's a other part of the flour which never came into contact with the Shemen, so that's not wet. So is that going to be Machshel Tumah, or not Machshel Tumah? Will be a Rishon and Sheni, will be able to transfer Tumah, or not? That's Reish Lakish's question. Again, Tzarid Shel Menachos, Monim bo Rishon v'Sheni olo? Does that now turn Rishon and Sheni? Can it be Metami something else? Or no, it just becomes Pasul. So we don't have an answer. But if we're telling us now Chibuz HaKodesh, not only is Machshir food to become Pasul, but even Machshir food to become Tameh and to be Metami other things, so then that should answer Rish Lakish's question, which we know is not answered. So it can't be Chibuz HaKodesh. And before we get to the final answer of the Gemara, what exactly is Machshir the Basur? There is an interesting question Tosis points out. In this Habamina, that Chibuz HaKodesh, in fact, is Machshir Tumah. That means anything that comes into the Beis HaMikdash, it's Machshir by Chibuz HaKodesh, by Kodesh, by Beis HaMikdash. So then when do you ever have to address the question? The Gemara said right before that, that the Mashkim of the Beis Metapcha is not Machshir. Why was that even relevant? Because if Chibuz HaKodesh tells us everything that comes to the Beis HaMikdash is Hukshir L'Tumah, so the fact that Mashkim of the Beis Metapcha is not Hukshir L'Tumah is very quickly neutralized by the fact that Chibuz HaKodesh is Machshir L'Tumah. Look around how Tosa asks this question. Tosa asks, Ela dis kasher b'Chibuz HaKodesh. This is all in the Havamina before we rejected it. That the Chibuz HaKodesh is Machshir food L'Tame. Vim Tomar, Ichibas HaKodesh Mehanya L'Mimnei Bei Rishon V'Sheni. If it's true, that's able to make something Hukshir L'Tumah to start counting it Rishon L'Sheni if it becomes Tameh. My Nafkamina, the high Mashkin base Metapcha, Dachin, V'ein Machshirin. What's the Nafkamina? That the base the Mashkin base Metapcha is not Machshir. If, even though it's not Machshir, but the Chibuz HaKodesh is Machshir. So it quickly, again, neutralizes that concept. So Omer Re says there are other items that actually come into the base HaMikdash that's not called Chibuz HaKodesh. And that's why you have to address the question of Beis Metapcha. What's not Chibuz HaKodesh that comes into the Beis HaMikdash? V'omari, the itzterich l'kama dvarim shemivin ba'azara delo shayach bei Chibuz HaKodesh, such as kegon bikurim o chulin she'ochen ba'azara k'yelechol mincha v'azevach al sova. Bikurim. Bikurim are the first fruits of the Shevet HaMinim that come that year. They bring it as a gift to the Kohanim. It comes to be eaten in the Azara. That's not Kodshim. It's a Matanas, it's Matanas Kuna. But it's not Kodshim, so it's not subject to Chibuz HaKodesh. So you have to learn that even though Chibuz HaKodesh is a Mashkir, Machshir, neither is the Mashkim of Beis Metapcha, it's not Machshir either. Or any Chulin that's brought into the Azara. Why would Chulin be brought into the Azara? We know there's a dim when it comes to Karbanos and Karban Pesach in particular. You have to eat the Karban Pesach Al HaSova. You have to be full. And the Karban Pesach is how you finish off your meal. So all the food that's brought beforehand is all chulin, just getting to the point of al hasova. So those items of chulin are not Chibuz HaKodesh, so you have to tell me that the mashkim, the base metalcha, are also not machshir any chulin foods that are brought in to the base of Migdash. Either way, the Gemara does reject that Chibuz HaKodesh, although it's machshir something to become puzzle, it's not machshir to be a rishon or a sheni. So where exactly does the basar get hukshir from? And the Gemara finally concludes, Amar of Yehuda Mashmuel, Kagon Shahayusa Para Shaziv Cheshlamim Vevira Ben Nahar Vishachta Vadain Mashka Tafech Aleh. You have a cow that was a shlamim. You brought it through a river to get to the base of Migdash. You shachted it. And when you shachted, the animal was dead. The water was still dripping off from the river. And that was now Machshir the Basar. And Rashi just points out two wide lines down. Really, the first wide line down, the end of the line, Vadain Mashka Tafech Aleh. It's impossible that not even one drop of water will fall on as you're skinning the animal. It's vada that a drop is going to fall on the basar. Now the basar is hukshir, and since the machet shaltai meis touches the basar, now the basar will become tamer. So that's how we figure this out. Now the Gemara had said yesterday that if you find it in the perish, though, in the waste of the animal, then it remains tar. So the Gemara asks the question, last five narrow lines on the Amadir, Nimtes b'feresh hakol tahor, everything is tahor. Why not? Why is everything tahor, rather? V'nehadar perish v'nitmei l'basar. Shouldn't we suggest the machat touches the perish, and the perish then touches the basar, so shouldn't the basar now become tameh? And the habimina here is that there's some liquid, there's mashkin in the perish, in the waste, there's a lot of liquid that's in the waste. So the machat touches the mashkin, and we know mashkin there tameh can be metame ochel, so why is that not metame the ochel? So Amr v'adab r'avab, the ferish ava, where it's very, very thick ferish, very thick waste, where Rashi says dela mashku, it can't be called a liquid, it's a solid, that's why. But ena chanami, if it was a ferish lacha, if it was a liquid, it was more loose, so then the dim would be ena chanami, it would be mashkim, and could be mitami the basar. So Rashi says, amar afilu tema ferish racha, even if you want to say the waste is very loose, and a din of a mashke, in the end of the day, it still can't be machshir the basar, because mishum dehavi mashke seruach. We saw this the other day, that mashke seruach, that which is disgusting, even though it's a liquid, it does not have a shei mashke, and for that reason, even though the consistency would dictate that it's a liquid, but the inability of it, if you will, is not, it's a mashke seruach, and therefore not called the mashke, and not mashke the basar. So that's why, two different reasons, why the machat found in the feresh is not machshir, is not metame, the feresh or the basar. Gemara now quotes a statement in the Braisa.
Are we going to assume that on the way to the feresh, it touched something and it became tame before? Like if he had it, it had to go through his...
But it was all solids along that way.
Even when he swallowed it?
Right, I guess. It's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know. Tani kamidir Rav Sheshes, the Braisa was taught in front of Rav Sheshes. By the way, you would say at that point, actually, since it was all live at the time, so then it wouldn't be metame.
Oh, because they're right.
So the Gemara would say, Tani Tana Kami Dir of Sheshes. Sheretz metame is a mashkin, and mashkin metame is a kli, the kli metame is a ochlin, the ochlin metame is a mashkin. So those are a few different levels. Again, the sheretz is metame the utensil, then is metame the food is then metame the mashkin. So the manu, we should learn from here, shalosh tumeos b'sheretzin. There are three different levels. The Gemara says three levels. Hain arba'im. We just said four. We said sheretz, kli, ochlin, mashkin. Those are four. How come you're saying only three? So Gemara is going to remove one of these steps. Goes mashkin deresha. Let's remove the mashkin of deresha, and it should really read that sheretz is metame kli, which is metame ochlin and metame mashkin. That's what we're taking out the first step of sheretz metame mashkin metame kli. That we're taking out the first mashkin. Was ander arba. Goes mashkim de seifa. Let's remove the mashkim of the end of the statement where the mashkim was mentioned second. Again, just to review, we said first in the brisa, sheretz mashkim, kli ochlin mashkim. Removing the first mashkim. But the Gemara is suggesting remove the last mashkim. The Gemara says, lo ashkechen tana damer mashkim metame kli. We only find one statement, one person who says mashkim is metame kli, meaning the first case, sheretz to mashkim to kli. Only one person says a mashkim could actually be metame kli. And even that person, Eli Rabbi Yehuda, we learned the other day, Bahadirbei, he retracted, so really nobody holds that Mashkim can be Metame Kli. So that's why we delete the first appearance of Mashkim and should really read, Sheretz is Metame Kli, a Kli Metame the Ochel, and the Ochel is then Metame the Mashkim. So Gemara then says, the Simanach, the Nemanach, to remember this, is a Nizyasa. What's Nizyasa? That's how people would make beer. So how is that a Simon? Rashi says, five lines up, Nizyasa, Seder, Matile Shecher Sorin, the way they put the hops, the barley hops to make beer, Tchila Nosen Kli, first they have a Kli, V'chakach Ochel, then they put food in, V'chakach Mashke, then liquid, they put water in. So that step of a Kli, Ochel and Mashke, is the Braisa here, the Sheretz and Metame, the Kli, the Ochel and the Mashke, that's the mnemonic to help remember this. Gemara now says, last four lines of the Amud here, Tanan Hasan, the Mishnah teaches us, this is the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Kelim, it says, Sheretz, Shenimsa, B'taner, Hapas shebasocha shnia mipesha taner tchila. So if you have some type of earthenware oven, and there's a sheretz inside the oven, and there's also bread inside the oven. Now the sheretz is not touching the bread. But we learned the other day that being in the ovir of a kli cheretz, so then the sheretz is metame the taner. The taner is now a rishon. And then the taner from there is metame the pas as a sheni. So the pas only becomes a sheni. We don't look to a direct relationship between the sheretz and the pas. It's really through the klicheres, the taner, which is metame the pas into a sheni. So Gemara says, why is that the case? Why don't we say that the sheretz is viewed as being metame the pas directly from being in the same avir? Amar le rav ad bar ava lirava v'nechse lahai taner keman demale tumadami. Maybe we should visualize this taner, this oven, as if it's full of tumah, as if it's full of sheretz, v'teve hai pas rishona. Because we said that the sheretz is in the airspace, it's not touching the klicheres. But from the very fact that it's in the airspace, it's as if it's touching the taner. So isn't that viewed as the whole thing is full of tumah? So why don't we say it also as if it's directly touching the pas, and the pas should not be a sheni, but it should really be a risham. And so the Gemara answers on the last two lines of Amud Aleph here, Amr Le, Lo Saka Daitach, no one would have such a havimina, because if you knew this Josh in the Braisa, you would know that this can't be the case. The Tanya, Yachol Yehe Kol HaKelim Metamim Me'aver, Kli Cheretz. One might have thought that any Kelim that's inside the Avir of the Kli Cheretz should be Tame as well. Tame Lomar, Kol Asher Besocha Yitma. Anything that's inside the Kli Cheretz along with the Sheretz at the same time is Tame. So that what you would think, maybe even a Keli should be Tame from the Sheretz directly. And then it says, V'samech Le, but the Pasuk then says, Mikol HaOchel. So any food that's in the airspace is metame directly from the airspace. The Gemara says, "Ochel metame me aver klicheres, vein kolakelim metamim me aver klicheres." The food is metame, but not the kelim. So we see from here, why not? If the sheretz is really viewed as being metame the entire airspace, so even kelim out of there should be directly contaminated by the sheretz. From the fact that we're saying only food that's in the airspace, not the kelim, tells us that we don't view the entire thing as full of sheretz. So just like we don't view the sheretz being full with respect to being metame kelim, we also don't view it as being directly full of the sheretz with respect to the food. And therefore the food does not become a rishon directly from the sheretz, rather only after kind of passing through the tanner does it become tame, which means it's only going to be a sheni. So again, the way it works is the sheretz is in the oven, it's in the ovir, it's metame the tanner, and the tanner from the pasuk is metame the food that's in there, making the food a sheni. Okay. Now, the rest of the Amud here, and really the rest of the Perek, we're not going to do the rest of the Perek, we're going to finish the Amud at least, is going back to what we discussed a few days ago, from the beginning, when the Mishnah described in the beginning of Yudalad, how the Shitas are mixing together Chuma Timea and Chuma Tahora on Erev Pesach, even though you're being Tameh and Tameh and Tar together, but since they're both going to be burnt, Li'ibud, you can mix them together, that Shita. So Gemara is going to discuss various questions and answers. It should flow pretty nicely. It's going to be pretty much a review, but trying to link the different shitas together. Because the Gemara is trying to make Rabbi Yeshua's shita consistent with each other. Because if you start putting together what he said about Erev Pesach, versus what he said about the chavis that broke and the truma falling down, or what he said about the tamei, you know, the case of the suffix truma, where it became exposed, should you cover it or should you not cover it, all those cases we're trying to, again, put together to see if Rabbi Yeshua works out l'shitaso. So Gemara now says three lines down from the top of Chaf, Amid Beis. Rav Chista, Rami Pischa, Pischa, Umeshane. Rav Chista had a question from one Shita of a Pesach to another Shaila about Pesach, and he answered this Stira. What was the Stira? Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shtehen, Ka'achas. Did Rabbi Yeshua really allow you to burn both of them together? And Rashi points out it's referring to mixing Tluya, Vitmeya, Bechameitz, Pesach. Can you really take a case of Chuma Tmeya with Chuma Tluya, which is a Suffolk Tumah? Can you put them together and burn them Erev Pesach along with chametz? Is that really allowed? Or minhu? The Gemara asks from a brayso. We saw this brayso already on Daf Tezvav. Amar Rabbi Yosi, Ein hanidon domer l'raya, that the nidon, the case at hand, is not similar to the proof that you're bringing. Kishahidu rabosenu almahidu, when they testified, what were they testifying about? Im al habasa shenitma bevlad hatuma shesor frenoso im habasa shenitma be'ava tuma. If it's a secondary level tuma with a rishon l'tuma. So that's allowed. So that's a raya, but that's not a raya for the case of Rabbi Yeshua mixing Tameh and Tawar. Granted, Tameh and Tameh is allowed, but Tameh and Tawar, that's not allowed. And if you're going to bring a raya, Imal Shemen Shenifsa, if it's the case of Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah Yadal, who said you could put together a puzzle with Shemen, with Tameh rather, Imal Shemen Shenifsa, B'tivil Yom, Shemalikin Oso B'ner Shenitma, if you could put it in a candle that's Tameh, it's a high level tumah, zeh pasul v'zeh tameh. But that's also understandable because tameh and pasul, you're not really changing much. I agree, Rabbi Yossi says, that if you have a high level tumah, tumah that's rishon l'tumah, and a tumah that's sheni l'tumah, they're both tameh, I would agree you could put them together and burn their pesach. They're both tameh, one's higher, one's lower, but they're both tameh. Ava heyach nisrof afilu tuliyah matmeah. But how could you take a suffix tumah to mix with a vame tumah? Shema yavo Elio v'yitarim. And maybe he's going to come along and say that, Elio is going to come and say that they're actually tower. So how is that allowed? So that's the question against Rabbi Yeshua. So Mishane, they answer that no. Ha Rabbi Shimon v'aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. Ha Rabbi Yosi v'aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. There's a machlokes, what exactly Rabbi Yeshua understood, what his psak was. Rabbi Yosi understood Rabbi Yeshua saying you cannot mix them together, and Rabbi Shimon learned Rabbi Yeshua that you're allowed to mix them together. There's not a stira; it's just two different reports of what Rabbi Yeshua said. So Ditani, the Raisa says, Yud Dalad Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. If Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, falls out on Shabbos, Mivarin Esakol Milfnei Shabbos. We know we can't burn on Shabbos; we burn everything prior to Shabbos. V'sorfen Shumos Tameos Tulios. The Tahoros, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said you could burn all of them together, Tamei, Tahor, and Tuliyah all together. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Tahor b'fnei atzma, v'Tuliyah b'fnei atzma, v'Tmeah b'fnei atzma. Each one has to have its own fire. You cannot burn any of them together because you might mix together Tuma and Tahor. That's Rabbi Yosi's Shita. Comes along now, so he says he's more Machmer, you can't not mix them together. Amar Rabbi Shimon says, no, lo nechlaku, Rabbi Eliezer Bishua al Tahora val Tamea Shein Sorfin al Tulia Shein Sorfin. They both agree that even Rabbi Shua agrees you can't mix Tahora with Tamea. But al Tulia val Tahora Shesorfin, and that as well, you can't burn them together. But Ama Nechalku al Tulia val Tamea. So you can't mix together Tahora and Tulia that much they agree with because maybe you're making the Tahora Tame. But what do they do agree? What do they argue about rather? Ama Nechalku. Atuliya val Tameya Shrebi Eliezer Omer Tisarev Zuba Atmo Zuba Atmo. Rabbi Eliezer said they have separate fires, but Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shen Kachas, you can mix together the Tuliya with the Tameya. So here in this long brisa, Rabbi Yossi said, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have to keep the Tuliya and Tameya separate, but Rabbi Shurin felt, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you could keep them together, you can mix them together, the Tuliya and the Tameya. So this is a machlokas Tanaim, how to understand Shitas Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara says, "V'hama season Rabbi Yossi, isn't our Mishnah Rabbi Yossi's Shita? How could you suggest that Rabbi Shimon authored our Mishnah that allowed you to mix them together? Rabbi Yossi clearly is the author of our Mishnah." The Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi is responding to Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. Remember the end of the Mishnah, Yudalid. Rabbi Yossi and Meir were going back and forth. That's clearly Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon wasn't anywhere to be found. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi was talking to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is very makel. He allowed you to burn everything together. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Meir, Afilu Rabbi Shimon, I'll leave the Rabbi Shimon. Even my friend Rabbi Shimon, who has a much more leaning position of Rabbi Shimon, even him, the Mekel, can make a Batuli. He's only make a Batuli of a Tameya. Aval Patahora Tameya, like you suggest, to mix Tame and Tower, like you suggest, Rabbi Meir, lo, he wouldn't even say that. So you're really being Mekel here. What comes out from all this, however, there are three Shitas when it comes to mixing Shimon, Tameya, Torah, and Tulia. Rabbi Meir says mix everything together. Rabbi Yossi says everything must be separate according to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Shimon felt the Torah and Tluya are separate, but the Tluya and Tameya can be together. So this focus right now was Tluya and Tameya, can you mix them together or not? Rabbi Yossi says you cannot, and Rabbi Shimon says that you can. So that's the first question and answer. Then the Gemara says, around halfway down the wide lines here, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rami Chuma Apischa. He had a question from the sugi about Chuma onto a sugi about Pesach Umeshane, and he gave an answer. So mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Shten Kachas, does he really say you can mix together Tumeya and Tuluya? The Ermin who asks the Gemara from that brisa of the Chuma Chavis Shel Chuma Shenolod Basafik Tuma. You have a barrel of Chuma, and there's a safik whether it became Tame or not. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Im Hayisa Munechas B'Makom Atorfa. If it was in an area that was vulnerable, Yanichanu B'Makom Atmutza. Put it in an area that's protected. Im Hayisa Magula. If it was exposed, the Chasana covered up. We don't know. It's a Safek Tuma, Safek Torah, but you still have to preserve it. We saw Rashi a couple of days ago that says Chumosai Mishmarti or something. The pasuk about double Chumosai was written as Chumosai, but we read it as Chumosai, and since the Chumosai was there, we said you have to double Lashon. Here the Lashon is that S Mishmeres Chumosai, but written as Chumasi. So he darshan the way it's read, at Kri, it's Chumosai, so that therefore even Tluya requires a protecting it. And comes along with Bishua Omer, Im Ha'isa Munechas B'Makom Mutza. If it was an area that was actually protecting it, you could completely make it vulnerable to the outside. If it was covered, Yigalenda, you could expose it because Rabbi Yeshua felt the pasuk should be Esmishmeres Chumasi in the singular, only when it's Chuma Tehora does it require Mishmeres, but not a Chuma Tuluya. So the Gemara then says that, so we see from there that only Grumma in be a daim low, only to have an indirect, if it gets Tame, indirectly, that's fine, that's Grumma, but to directly be Matame, that wouldn't be allowed. So how could Rabbi Yeshua suggest in Erev Pesach to be a daim mixed together Chuma Tameya with Tuluya, and being be a daim, be Matamit? He only allows by the Chuma case to allow for a Grumma, not be a daim. Umishane Har Rabbi Shimon Aliba de Rabbi Shua Har Rabbi Yossi Aliba de Rabbi Shua. Again, the Shitas was above Rabbi Shimon, who is more Makel. He allows you to do Biadayim, but the opinion by the Chavis Shel Chuma, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who is more Machmir. But in Echadami, Rabbi Yeshua would say even Biadayim, one would be able to be Metame the Chuma Tuluya.
Recommendable to make it Tame? Just there shouldn't be.
No, doesn't make a difference. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Rami Chuma Chuma. Now he asks a question of Elazar on two cases of Chuma. Umeshana, and he gives an answer. Mi Amar Rabbi Yeshua Grama in Biadaim Lo. Does Rabbi Yeshua really allow only for Grama, but to be a daim Tame Chuma, that would be not allowed? Is that really true? We're Minhu. We had the case of the Chavis Shel Chuma Shinishbura Bagasa Elyona. you had a barrel or a jug of truma that cracked, and the truma was coming out, and it was falling into an area below that had chulin tamein in it. So now it's going to be the truma is going to become tamei, and the chulin also can't be eaten because that the truma they mixed together. So now v'tachte chulin tameim. Mode Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yeshua, they both agree. Shem Yochel Lahatzim Imenu Revius Petara Yatzel. You should go and save. If you can find some kalim quickly that are Torah and catch the Truma, at least the Revius, you should do the best you can to save the Truma Torah and to save the Chulin below. If you're able to do that, fantastic. But if you can't do that, the only thing available is kalim Temeim. Now you have the option of either just letting it go and everything's ruined, or catch the Truma with kalim Temeim, that you're being Matame, the Truma Biadayim, but at least you're protecting the Chulin below. So what do? Rebbe Elazar Omer, Terid v'titma v'yitmena b'yad. Let it just crack and fall and don't touch it. Don't get involved. You cannot be metame truma b'yadayim. Just let it fall. Rebbe Yeshua Omer, yitmena b'yad. No, you should get kalim tmeim and catch the truma. You're being metame b'yadayim. Doesn't make a deal. Doesn't make a big deal. You're allowed to be metame b'yadayim. So from here, we clearly see that Rebbe Yeshua allows one to be metame b'yadayim. How come by the case of the above case, where the Truma Tuluya, we said you could just expose it. You can make it vulnerable, but you can't actually, only Grum is allowed, but not Biadayim. So does he allow Biadayim, or does he not allow Biadayim? Umeshana, he answers, Shiny Hasim, there is different Dika Hefshit Chulim. Because it's not only the factor of being Matame Biadayim or not, there are other factors to consider, which is a Hefshit Chulim. That if the Truma falls in, you're going to lose all the Chulim, that could be a big loss of money. So in that case, he allows Biadayim. But everything else being equal, in a regular case, it only Grum is allowed, but Biadayim would not be allowed. So Maskiv La Rava, Masisanami Ika, Hefsit Eitim. Our case is also Hefsit Eitim. When it comes to mixing together, having to keep separate the Chuma Tuluya and the Chuma Tahora, so then Chuma Temei, all that, you have to have separate fires. And that means more wood. And that's a loss of money, so shouldn't there be a concern as well? And because of that, you should be allowed to be a die, mix them all together to protect, save money. And the Gemara says, no, like we saw this already the other day, Amalei Abai, the Hefsit Meruba, Chashashu, Lefsit Muat, Lo Chashashu. For a big loss of money, we're concerned. Loss of money, the guy's a whole vat of wine that's chulin, and Chuma falls in, that's a big loss of money. But a few twigs of wood to make a fire, that's not a loss of money. Well, it is, but it's not a significant loss of money, and therefore it's not a concern. Now, this is a very, very big thing. It comes up in halach oftentimes in Chosha Mishpat. You'll have a big machlokas in what to do, and the Ramah will say, if it's a hefsid meruba, so then there's a room to be mekel. Or Amir L'Akam, sometimes you have hefsid meruba, could be a certain kul on Shabbos. Amir L'Akam, how to define hefsid meruba is very, very challenging. Ramosha says it's very subjective. So if you're a posek and you're told, okay, it's a hefsid mamon, well, is it hefsid mamon for you? It might be very different than for this guy. How do you know? How to judge a person's finances? I don't say, okay, show me your money and let me figure out if it's a hefsid mamon. That'd be completely inappropriate to say, let me see your checks, let me see your bank accounts, and you dress like a very simple person, but maybe, 100 bucks is not so much for you. Or maybe a guy dresses very, very fancy in fancy cars, but at the end of the day, he spends more than what he really should be dressing like and driving like in those kind of houses, and maybe 100 bucks is a big loss for him. How do you know? So it's very hard to assess lamaisa what's considered hefsid meruba and hefsid muat, but either way, whatever that assessment is, there is a difference in halacha that we are choshesh for hefsid meruba, and that's when he allows you to be matame biadayim, but hefsid muat, we don't allow you to be matame biadayim. So Gemara now wants to know, how do you know there's such a chilek between hefsid meruba and hefsid muat? Mina temra, till hefsid meruba chashashu, will hefsid muat lo chashashu. The Tani, the Braisa, tells us that a chavish shel shemen shuma, if you have a barrel of wine, rather oil, that's shuma, shenishbura bagas elyona. And that barrel of oil cracked, it was in the higher part of the wine or the oil press, the olive press, ubetachtona chulun tmea, and beneath it, there's all the chulin, that's oil, on the bottom. So it's chulin tamayim. And if the oil falls in, the truma, it's going to ruin everything. So moda, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yeshua. Now in this case, Rebbe Elazar agrees Rebbe Yeshua. Shim yachol la'atzim imenu revis batari yatzim. And that's the same right now. Vim lav teirid, v'titma, v'al yimenu b'yad. So here, that, in this case, the other way around. That in this case, if you're able to save b'kelim tahorim, then great. If you can't save the kelim tamayim, even Rebbe Yeshua will agree, don't be metame, just let it fall in and let it become tame on its own. So how come, what's the difference? By the case of the yayin, Rebbe Yeshua says, save the wine. But by Shemini, he says, no, just let it fall, doesn't make a big deal. So why one case we say, lose the money, the other case, not lose the money? Maishna Shemen, deroy lahalik, yai lahalik, nami, why by oil? Because even though the oil, I can't eat the oil, right? What happens when you have chuma tamein? What's the din? Chuma tahora, you eat. Chuma tamein, you can't eat. but you're allowed to still burn it. The Gemara says in Shabbos, you could still use it to burn the fire. So, okay, big deal. So the shemen falls into the shemen tamayim. They tell me, I can't eat it anymore, but I could still burn it to, you know, for my Hanukkah candles if I wanted. So that's allowed. So the Gemara says the same thing with wine. If the wine gets ruined, so I can't drink the wine, the chumah tamayim wine I can't drink, but I could still have another use for it. My shenag and shemen de roi lahalik, yai nami roi lezilif. What's zilif? Zilif is if you put wine in your head, it's like a scent. And a certain aroma in your house. You pour the wine on the floor, it makes the house smell very nice. So there's another usage for wine as well. I could pour it in my ground and make it a very nice smelling house. So maybe I shouldn't stop the wine from with the kalim to him, let it tear it as well. So how come he says in the case of yayin, you need to catch it, but the case of shemen fall down? So Gemara says, if you're going to tell me maybe v'chitema zilif la milsi, zilif, who does zilaf? That's not a chashuv thing to pour wine in my front hallway to make it smell nice. That's lava chashuvi. That's not an inyan. Lav milsi. It is. V'hamar Shmuel says, Mishum Rebbi Chiya, Shosin Milug Besela. If you have a lug of wine that's worth a sela, you drink it. If it's mezalfin milug b'shaim, if it's a lug that's you bought with two, it's more expensive, you actually be mezalfin. You pour the wine in your house to make it smell nice. So it's a chashuv thing. It's perhaps more expensive than drinking. So Gemara says, you're right. But this is b'chadash. We're talking about where it's brand new wine. I mean, zilaf only works. It's only effective if you let it age. When it ages, the smell, the scent, the aroma. But freshly pressed wine, that has no scent yet. So we're talking about a wine press here. So it's still fresh. It's chadash. It's not subject to zilaf. So if you lose the yayin, it's all tameh, you can't drink it. And not roi for zilaf, so that's a real hefsid. So the Gemara then says that v'har roi l'yashno. So why don't you take the wine that's mixed together, the chumah tamayin and the chulin, that's all mixed together. Don't drink it, but store it somewhere. Let it age and ferment for the number of next months or years, however long it takes. And then you could use it. It's not a loss of money. So don't catch it with the kalim tamayin. Let it fall in and just preserve it until it's roi lezilif. So Gemara says, asi beili de takala. We're concerned that might come to takala. A person, and while he's storing it, he might drink from it. And to keep and to store chuma tamei in your house, that's a very dangerous thing because you might drink it. And we don't want there to be a chashash, a person's going to drink it, and therefore we have to protect it from falling in. Shemen nami asi beili de takala. Oil as well. What happens? The shemen chuma falls into the chun tamei. Now it's all tamei. All right, no big deal. You could use it to light your Hanukkah licht. But I'm not lighting it one night. It's going to a whole year to light this oil. So I need to store the oil as well. So how come by storing the wine, we're concerned you might drink it, that even though it's tameh, therefore you have to save it from the kalim, with the kalim. But by the oil, we're not concerned you're going to eat it? It's going to last a long time, that oil. Isn't there a concern of takala? And the Gemara says, you take the oil after it becomes tameh, you throw it into a disgusting pot where no one would ever eat out of that, the oil out of the pot. So there's no chashash of eating it, and you can just save it to be used as the oil to light the fire. So the Gemara says the same thing. Yai nami rami lebe klimos. If you the wine as well, now that's tameh, you can't drink it, throw it into some disgusting vat or barrel that no one would ever drink from it, and just let it ferment till it has this aroma. So Gemara says, l'siv kabarle b'klimos ramile. You want to preserve it, you want it to age so that it can become nice. But by throwing it into a klimos, a disgusting kli, that's not going to help it ferment. It won't allow it to function as a zilaf and therefore be ineffective. The only way to store wine to the point where it gets zilaf is in very nice kalim, very nice barrels that are clean. And since it will lead to takala, we say not to do it. And that's where Rabbi Yeshua says you could catch it with kalim tamayim so you don't get into this whole issue. As opposed to shemen, there's a way to serve and to preserve the oil. Okay, let's stop here. Everyone have a Freilich and Chanukah, and Mitzvah Hashem will continue together.